Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From New York City, the only city in America, it's the show that invented news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Charlamagne Tha God.
Welcome to The Daily Show. I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God. Hello. That's right. Now, we have an okay show for you tonight. Pretty mid. Most late night hosts will say they have a great show, but I'd rather tell you the truth. I'm kidding. We've got a great show for you tonight. Or do we? Let's get into the headlines. Let's begin with the man you all know and love, Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, I think you heard some of y'all booing. Maybe if you boo hard enough, he'll drop out of the race. Come on. Yeah, that'll do it. I know you don't want to talk about the man, but we have to because the presidential race is about to kick into high gear. So let's check in on the latest with our ongoing coverage of Democracy 2024. Let's get right to the good news. Donald Trump is definitely not going to be president again. The bad news is because he's going to be dictator.
New warnings that Donald Trump's re-election would pose a grave threat to American democracy, with Republican Liz Cheney sounding the alarm about a potential dictatorship.
Do you believe if Donald Trump were elected next year that he would try to stay in office beyond a second term? That he would never leave office?
There's no question.
Quite a warning from former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. She is not alone.
From the New York Times, why a second Trump presidency may be more radical than the first. And this from The Guardian, a second Trump term will be far more autocratic than the first.
A special issue of The Atlantic magazine today lays out a detailed, compelling case about specifically what could happen if Donald Trump returns to the Oval Office. 24 essays by Atlantic writers outline how the threats to democracy will be bigger than ever before, potentially changing America forever.
All right, that sounds bad, but don't forget, we still have Joe Biden standing between him and the White House. Yeah, so it's actually even worse. Look, it would be absolute insanity to send Donald Trump back to the Oval Office. Who would hire a guy they already fired once? Hey, I know we let go of John because he dipped his penis in the pancake batter. But now that he hates all of us and made a hit list, I say we bring him back. And Donald Trump is worse than penis pancakes, y'all. Because I agree with Liz Cheney. If Trump becomes president, he's never, and I mean never, leaving office again. All right? If you were facing that many charges, you'd barricade yourself in the White House, too. I don't even think Trump wants to be president. He just likes the immunity. If being host of Let's Make a Deal meant you couldn't go to prison, he'd be campaigning for that, too. That's right. And by the way, people aren't just guessing. Trump's out there saying what he's going to do. He said he'll sick the military on protesters, open internment camps for illegal immigrants, and shut down media outlets that criticize him. And you know he will, because the last time he was president, he reportedly tried to get the Justice Department to investigate Saturday Night Live for making fun of him. This dude was really going to send David S. Pumpkins to Guantanamo. And I know we're all blaming Republicans for a potential Trump comeback, but it's not all on them. It's on Democrats, too. Every single election, they say the Republican nominee is going to destroy America. They said it about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. At this point, Romney's just a reusable grocery bag away from being a Democrat. Even now, if Nikki Haley won the nomination, Democrats would say she's going to end democracy, too. The problem is Trump actually will. But people are tuning it out because Democrats have been crying fascist for so long. Honestly, liberals, there is only one way for you to stop Donald Trump. Reverse psychology. Yeah. Act like you like him, okay? All the MAGA people care about is owning the libs. So just embrace Trump. Then they'll reject him. Yeah. Listen. I want y'all to endorse him at Drag Queen Story Hour. Yeah. Get Lin-Manuel Miranda to write a hip-hop musical about him. Or better yet, let's hold a Black Lives MAGA rally. Yeah. Now, let's move on from a criminal trying to get back in the government to a criminal who's moving out of government. George Santos was expelled from Congress on Friday. Yeah. I had no idea George Santos had a fan club. But he's already found a new way to stay in our hearts and social media feeds forever.
Former Congressman George Santos has found his new calling. Freshly expelled from Congress, Santos is now on Cameo. People can buy personalized messages from Santos for $200 each.
George Santos here, wishing you the happiest of holidays. Joe and Julie would like you to please spend some money on yourselves from the gift this year. It could be anything from Botox to luxury goods of any kind, like a trip to Hermes or makeup from Sephora or a subscription to OnlyFans.
He's good. That guy is very good at Cameo. He's good at public speaking. He's relatable. He has a personal touch. You know what? He should run for Congress. But yeah, it makes sense that George Santos is a star on Cameo. And knowing his history of lying, he's probably also a cardiologist on Teladoc, too. And look, I got no problem with Santos being on Cameo. The man is a hustler, and that's what he does. What I do have a problem with is all the people paying him for cameos. Like, come on, America. You wonder why everyone in government is behaving so badly? It's because we're rewarding bad behavior. All right? Come on, man. This dude gets kicked out of Congress for stealing credit cards, and now we're giving him our credit cards to make videos about how he stole credit cards? I won't knock his hustle. Good luck to you, George Santos, but he'd better do these cameos now because they're going to be way less charming when the background is his cellmate taking a shit. Finally, let's move on to some science news. If you're worried that you might be getting too old to have kids, don't worry, you're not.
A 70-year-old woman in Uganda accomplished something few women her age have ever done. She gave birth to a set of twins. Safina Namukwaya delivered her two bundles of joy via C-section after successful IVF treatments. Now, the twin boy and girl were born premature and placed in incubators, but they are in stable condition.
Wow. Science is amazing. First, doctors are able to create a golden bachelor, and now this. Modern medicine is incredible. For more on this miracle birth, let's go live now to Desi Leidick. Desi, what an incredible triumph of science.
Charlemagne, this is the worst thing that's happened to women since Chet Hanks downloaded Tinder. You know what triumph of science I'd like to see? Let's take all the doctors responsible for this and launch them directly into the sun.
Why so harsh, Desi? I think it's amazing that a woman could give birth at age 70.
Well, I think it's terrifying to get pregnant at 70. I don't want to be changing diapers when I'm in diapers. And I can't believe a woman of her age had to carry twins. My mom broke her hip carrying a yogurt. And then to endure a C-section? I mean, you'd think at 70, the babies would just fall right out. Keep doing those Kegels, ladies.
I don't know. I think there's something kind of nice about having babies so late in life. You can share the same nap schedule. You can eat the same mushy foods. Like,
but you're forgetting saying something very unfortunate about babies. They turn into children. You can't play tag with a walker. Not to mention all the young moms at the playground being like, oh, your grandkids are so cute. They're not my grandkids, you judgy twat. Enjoy your frappuccino while your tits are still higher than your blood pressure.
Okay, Desi, I hear you. All right, this isn't for everyone, but what about women who aren't ready to have kids yet? Shouldn't they have all the time they want?
No. No, old age should not be for parenthood. It should be for getting gonorrhea at the Rolling Stones reunion tour.
I get your point, Desi. I get your point. But still, there's got to be one good thing about having a baby at 70.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say that there's one bright spot. The worst part of having kids is raising teenagers. But if you have them at 70, then you probably don't have to worry about that.
Good point. Desi Lydic, everybody. When we come back, Louis Black will recap the year, so don't go anywhere.
Love the Daily Show Ears Edition? Then help us get to know you so we can keep creating the content you love. Go to cohst.app/TDS or click the link in this episode's show notes to fill out a quick 2-minute survey. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
The Daily Show. Now, when a news story falls through the cracks, Louis Black catches it for a segment we call Back in Black.
Well, it's December, which means two things. One, it's almost the end of the year. And two, I made it through No Nut November. And to think my second grade teacher said I'd never amount to anything. Naturally, December is the perfect time to look back at the things we're grateful for in 2023. Yeah, that's right. Me, grateful. Everyone assumes I'm a miserable Grinch, but I can be happy. Here, just look at this smile. Ow. Why do people do this? And if you think that 2023 sucked, I have a little secret for you. You suck. You people have no idea how good we had it this year. For starters, this was the first year since the pandemic that things felt almost normal. Remember the height of COVID? We couldn't do shit. You could die just from going to a party. And not in the fun way, from tainted cocaine. But this year, everything was back. Schools, concerts, sports, theater. Live theater is so back. This happened.
Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado, she was recently kicked out of a performance of Beetlejuice, the musical, for vaping and engaging in some R-rated groping with her date.
Yeah, Lauren Boebert was caught jacking off a guy during Beetlejuice, the musical. And you thought it was distracting when people unwrapped hard candy. If you're going to behave that way during a musical, at least do it during Les Mis. Talk about a play that needs a happy ending. And think about all the scientific advancements this year. They didn't always make us healthier, but they did make us hotter.
There's growing controversy nationwide. It's over people using a diabetes drug for weight loss. Ozempic is a drug that was developed to treat diabetes. But in recent months, demand for the drug has soared because one of its side effects is weight loss.
God, I love Ozempic. Or as your favorite celebrity calls it, oh, I've just been drinking a lot of water. Seriously, this drug is a godsend for anyone who likes losing weight and stealing medicine from diabetics. Ha, ha, ha! Just try and catch me, you one-footed bastard! And let's not forget that 2023 also saw a major milestone in pop culture.
Marvel Studios just clocked its worst movie debut ever with the release of The Marvels. With that, Disney CEO Bob Iger is said to be shifting his attention, turning his focus on making a few good films rather than many that aren't high quality.
Ooh. Making good films! Now there's a concept. So that's why this guy gets paid $50 billion a year. But I think Disney is a great company. And I'm not just saying that as the star of Inside Out. I'm saying it as the star of Inside Out 2. And let me assure you, they didn't pay me shit. At long last, people have finally stopped watching Marvel movies. And thank God. My favorite part of any Marvel movie is the four times I leave to pee. Listen, if I'm spending that long in the theater, I better be sitting next to Lauren Boebert. But the best pop culture trend in 2023? Kanye West. This was the first year in ages that he finally shut the f*** up. No tweets, no rants, no threats, huh? I'm just glad he finally left the anti-Semitism to literally everybody else. As if this wasn't all enough to be grateful for, this year was also the beginning of the end for one of humanity's worst inventions.
Elon Musk's X, formerly known as Twitter, is bleeding major brands who are at least temporarily pulling their advertising. Some ads for major brands appeared next to neo-Nazi hate speech on X.
Ad revenue for X had already declined by 54% this year. Musk himself acknowledges a new advertiser boycott could bankrupt the company.
Yes, Elon Musk did us all a favor and killed Twitter. For he's a jolly good weirdo, for he's a jolly good weirdo, for he's a jolly good weirdo. Can't wait till he dies on Mars. Wow. Wow, I'm really a good singer. Of course, 2023 was also special for us at The Daily Show, where we did a whole year of guest hosts. 1 week at a time, which was great for me because I never had to bother learning a host's name. Except for you, my main man. Great to see you again, pal. Look, next year is going to be awful. As bad as you think 2024 will be, it's going to be worse than that. So take a moment to appreciate the good things. And remember, smiling is free. Back to you, Chief.
Hey, thank you, Lewis. Lewis Black, everyone. When we come back, he left me hanging. When we come back, Robin Thede will be joining me on the show, so don't go anywhere. Oh, there you go, there you go.
Love the Daily Show Ears Edition? Then help us get to know you so we can keep creating the content you love. Go to cohst.app/TDS or click the link in this episode's show notes to fill out a quick 2-minute survey. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Guest tonight is the creator and star of the Emmy-winning HBO series, A Black Lady Sketch Show. She can currently be seen in the new Prime Video film, Candy Cane Lane. Please welcome Robin Thede! How are you, Queen Thede?
You know, just in the Christmas spirit.
That's right.
I never thought I would be 3 inches tall, but the benefit is I had like a 2-inch waist.
Okay.
So that was fun.
Did you get those heels from Ron DeSantis? Or...
okay. baby. I don't want to know what's in his closet.
Probably Lindsey Graham. But listen, now.
Oh, no.
This.
He's like, now why am I in it? You know why. All right.
Now, this movie seems pretty fantastical.
Right? Yes.
There are elves and magic and Black Santa.
Yeah.
But.
Now, that's facts.
The villain is a white woman.
Yes.
So is it fiction or not?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Who knows, right? It is funny to imagine a Black Santa, too. That's what's so exciting, right? Because, you know, I grew up with the typical white Santa and all the books and everything.
We all did.
So, yeah. But I think now, you know, I think the world's ready for a Black Santa, especially David Alan Grier. Why not? Yeah. You
know? Do you think... Do you think the world is ready to tell kids that Santa isn't real? You think that's inappropriate?
You know, when I was growing up, so my parents definitely wanted me to believe in Santa, mm-hmm. but my aunt was like, you know Santa ain't real. And I was like six, you know? And
was like, she a Jehovah's Witness?
No, but my babysitter was, and she told us we was going to hell because we were, you know, not Jehovah's Witnesses. Which I was like, that don't feel like a tenet of your religion. But so my aunt told us, and like as an adult, I was like, now my aunt was sleeping with somebody other than my uncle. So I feel like if she told me Santa wasn't real, I should have told my uncle, your wife ain't real. But it's too late. That's a complete lie. She wasn't cheating on him, but I thought that would be funny. I think...
It was about to be a rough Christmas dinner for you. You got this spilling family secrets on TV?
My aunt is literally like, how dare you? They never cheated. I don't know. Here's the thing. Marriage is a sham, and I think everyone should cheat. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you're clearly in the lying spirit today.
I don't know what's happening.
Why do you think Jesus doesn't headline his own birthday, though? It's like Santa. Ooh. Santa, the Grinch, they get more attention.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't have good marketing.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. And his friends were whack. They were either trying to be him or betray him, so. Yes.
That's very true.
Jesus got out early like Tupac, you know? He was just like, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, be a martyr. Die young, be a martyr.
Exactly. All his albums slapped. I mean, if Jesus would have made albums, he would have, they'd have been like top five. Jesus.
Yeah.
Tupac. Yeah. Jay-Z, you know?
For most of the movie, you play a Christmas figurine.
I do.
And Eddie Murphy is basically, he had an earpiece to hear what you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of pressure. What was it like?
Well, it seems annoying. Do you want this in your ear all the time? It was funny because the first day we didn't know, we thought their ear, so we would go rehearse on set as live people because Eddie and Tracy really, Tracy Ellis Ross is incredible in the movie too.
Absolutely.
So funny. They wanted me, Nick Offerman, and Chris Redd, who played all the figurines, to be there in person, improvise together, get the feeling of it. Then we would go to these sound booths, and they would hear us on the mic in their ears. And we thought they only heard us when they were rolling. But at the end of the day, Tracy just goes, you know we can hear everything you're saying, right? We were having debates about Drake albums. Like, we were just, like, being so annoying while they were trying to work. And they didn't tell us the whole first day. But after that, we learned, so we were... Tried to chill out.
How many times did, like, shooting get delayed because you guys were busy making everybody laugh? And
all the time. Every day. Okay. Every day. And the cool thing was director Reggie Hudlin had us on set for scenes that we didn't know if we would be in because they would animate us kind of after all the end of the live action stuff. So we were there for months.
Wow.
And so we got to hang out with them and you know, just go crazy. And Eddie lights up, as does Tracy, when we go off script, especially me and Chris Redd. We were always trying to make them break. So we never made Eddie break, but he definitely made us.
Why does he like that? Because he can't remember his lines? So is that a freestyle? Like, why does he like that?
Let me tell you how Eddie knows everyone's lines.
Okay.
He is a professional. This man has done 50 movies, okay? This is, like, easy for him. But I think he just loves that spirit. I think there's so many comedians in the movie. DC Young Fly, Angela Johnson, all these great people. So I think he just wanted that spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the last season of A Black Lady Sketch Show aired this past spring. That's right. Make some noise for that. The fact that the show was even allowed to exist is a huge accomplishment.
Listen, you ain't lying.
That's right. Let alone the fact that you picked up a lot of awards for it.
Yeah.
It's inspiring an entirely new generation of Black women. What sketch from the show are you most proud of?
Probably the one where I play a man. No, I don't know. I think one person is like, I saw it. most proud of? You know what? I think Courtroom Kiki, which is like the black lady courtroom.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody do it. Okay. Yeah, I think that's fun because it's like, it just shows like black sisterhood in a really fun way that I think we don't get to experience very often. So people always tag me on social media when they have like two black ladies at any one place and they're like, black lady dentist. Yeah. And I'm like, stop clapping, get your teeth fixed. But yeah, so I think that's dope, and it kind of lives beyond the show. So I think any of those sketches, like the Bad Bitch Support Group with Angela Bassett, that like, you know, absolutely. Like we had a lot of fun. Like creating these iconic moments that you don't see anywhere else and that you will never see again. You're never gonna see a 227 remake where we actually have Marla Gibbs and Jack A. Harry and, you know, just all these amazing actors.
You have to have a black woman run show to do a 227
for
sketch.
Sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And a lot of trust from HBO, because I'm sure they were like, what are we making? But, you know, having Issa Rae as an EP doesn't hurt.
That's right. That's right. Did you feel fulfilled? Like, did you feel like you got everything you needed to out of that show?
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, I don't want to, like, be Jordan playing baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I want to, like, leave the legacy there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, first of all, he was great at baseball. No shade to Jordan. He's Michael Jordan.
Man.
He's Michael Jordan. But, I mean, he's better at basketball, right? Yes. I mean, that's the thing that he spent his life doing. So I just didn't want to be, I never, in anything that I do, want to be, like, past my prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, although I'm incredibly young. I think, yeah, so I feel good about it. But I'm always going to be a little sad.
Yeah.
And I still think of sketches wherever I go, which is the problem. But, you know, I never say never. You never know what can happen in the future. So.
It feels like, well, it's not, it feels like it did check off a lot of boxes, the show did.
Because,
you know, black, it was women. It feels like slightly Hollywood may not be on the diversity push that it once was. Do you think that had anything to do with the show?
You know,
not coming back?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think if you ever notice, most shows really don't go past, like, three seasons anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think the audiences really want to want that as much. I don't know. I think there's very few shows that, moving forward in this kind of climate in the industry, are going to last, like, 20, 50, 80 seasons. I just
Absolutely.
Think, you know, I think we're always looking for the new thing, and no one wants to overstay their welcome. So I have such great partners at HBO, and I'm still making shows with them. I have a new show that I'm working on with them. So there'll be more to come.
Absolutely.
I always want to keep it fresh.
That's right. Yeah. So we may not have the Black Lady Sketch Show, but we still have Robin Thede.
Yes.
That's right.
I didn't die just because the show's over.
That's right. Candy Cane Lane is screaming now on Prime Video.
Yes.
Make some noise for Robin Thede, y'all.
Yay.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Vyadaris.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.